It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, you didn't miss the opening hour of the show. I was trying to ease Lindsay through it. Now I'm having fun at her expense.
It's going fine.
Hour two of the Lake Show here on the Good Neighbor News Talk 830 WCCO. Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider himself, getting ready to join us here on the show, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Matthew Collar, you staying warm?
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't had anywhere to go. No airport to travel out to Philadelphia for a playoff game or anything like that. So,
well, you could have went to, like, Hockey Day week. I mean, we got Hockey Day Minnesota is Saturday, and we had Heather Rule on, like, 30 minutes ago, and she's out in Shakopee, you know, braving the cold.
Okay. Well, you know, that's great. That's great. But I've mostly just been I spent all last weekend just watching everybody else's team play football. So, you know, that's how it is.
How much does that irritate you that your team didn't advance?
Well, you know, I didn't play, so it's, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, as I was it's very, you know, startling to go from you start training camp July 23rd or something, and then every single week after that, it's like pedal to the metal, you know, going out to the Vikings facility 5 days a week, going to U.S. Bank Stadium, traveling around. Crazy, you know, they're fighting for the number one seed 1 week, and then 2 weeks later they're not playing anymore. And so I feel like this was the most abrupt end to a Viking season that I've ever covered. Even when they lost the NFC Championship in 2017, I mean, how they lost was surprising, but we all knew that we could be going there and the season might be over. I didn't think that there was that great of a chance going after that, you know, Green Bay win, that they were just going to be eliminated in the first round, and that's, you know, that's how it would go. So that part was pretty shocking.
Yeah. All right. Since the Minnesota Vikings are done for the year, we're going to get to a few other issues around the National Football League, if you don't mind. Let's start, though, here in Minnesota. News of the week, Kevin O'Connell, contract extension. Your thoughts on that and what this means for Kwesi?
Well, it sounds like, from what Adam Schefter reported, that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's extension shouldn't be too far behind, which I think is the right thing to do for the Vikings. I mean, when you look at, first of all, I mean, who hired Kevin O'Connell? That was Kwesi. Yeah. The way that they have managed themselves, I think people don't remember because they're mad that the Vikings lost in the playoffs, that, you know, when you go back to when those guys arrived here, NFL.com did an article ranking all the situations for new coaches. So there were 10 new coaches in that hiring cycle. They only ranked the Vikings sixth. It was not viewed as the best job in the league to take over because you had a expensive aging quarterback, an expensive aging team that had already proven during Mike Zimmer's era that it really couldn't win a whole heck of a lot. And they had to, instead of tearing it all down and tanking because the ownership did not want them to do that, they had to manage their way through a competitive rebuild. And I think we all believed going into the season that it was going to take a lot longer than winning 14 games this year. And instead, boom, they're right there playing for the number one seed in week 18. And how it ended shapes how we feel about it. But when we look at what a great job that is in terms of managing the roster to get it to a point where it could be that competitive, and coaching to the point where it could be that competitive. I mean, sometimes I think they would have been better off from the fans' perspective, just winning 9 games and missing the playoffs by a game. And then everyone would have said, well, they're going in the right direction for next year, instead of being so disappointed. But that's the bar that they set in a really quick period of time. And then with Kevin O'Connell, when you have a guy with that leadership acumen, you just don't let him go. I mean, it's so hard to be a coach. Out of those 10 coaches hired in 2022, I believe 7 have been fired already. It's so hard to be a head coach in the NFL, and he's done it with multiple quarterbacks. I mean, this is somebody that you want coaching your team for a very, very long time.
Yeah, we're talking to Matthew Kyler, Purple Insider, here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. In the division, Ben Johnson, the former Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, gets the Chicago Bears job. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that one's interesting because it's just so different from what he just came from. He came from, I think, you talk about leadership, Dan Campbell goes to the top of that list in the NFL, somebody who just is an organizer of people and a motivator of people, and all Ben Johnson had to do was call the plays. And when he sent in the plays, he sent them into the best offensive line, the best running back, one of the best receivers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and said, go ahead, guys, run these plays. And they could execute them because they're awesomely talented in Detroit. I think it's a little different in Chicago. Now Ben Johnson has to figure out how he's going to lead an entire organization, which we've seen Kevin O'Connell make look like it's not that hard, but I promise it is. Ask Matt Eberflus how hard it is to lead the Chicago Bears organization. And then those plays that you're sending in, was it Jared Goff being a really good quarterback and Jahmyr Gibbs being a great running back? Was it, you know, Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow up front? Or was it that the plays were brilliant? And Jared Goff and Caleb Williams could not be more opposite, right? Jared Goff is just awesome at reading and reacting and getting rid of the football and making smart decisions and just being the driver of an offense, where Caleb Williams looked last year like he had no idea where the football was supposed to go.
Yeah.
Where he was either throwing immediate screens that had been drawn up, or he was just scrambling around and getting himself sacked almost 70 times. I mean, that's an enormous challenge. I know Ben Johnson, of course, I'm sure is excited about Caleb Williams' talent, but the guy can't see the field, I mean, from what we saw last year. So how do you navigate that and try to do a lot of the things that work, but also, you know, understand that Caleb Williams is not going to play football like Jared Goff did? I think it's not the easiest spot to go into, and then you add the pressure to that. It's a fan base who's been through so many bust quarterbacks, so many bust coaches, and they are exhausted of this. And this is the one who was promised the generational talent or whatever. If it doesn't work out for Ben Johnson, it's going to be really ugly for him.
You know, it's funny, and I agree with you 100%. We oftentimes, in terms of like ESPN, the big outlets, NFL Network, whatever, we oftentimes will talk about the pressure in New York. We talk about Jerry Jones and how about them Cowboys and all this. But like Chicago, that is a very pressure situation in terms of having that job. It's not like a bunch of these other National Football League jobs. Like, there are high expectations there all the time because the fan base is so fanatical. They're so crazy.
I totally agree with you. And they're enormous. It's got to be one of the 5 biggest fan bases in the nation, I would guess, based on their market size and also the popularity of Chicago, from the 80s. When you look at just Caleb Williams in general, let's say that there was no pressure if you were in Jacksonville or somewhere else where there's just no pressure at all. Would they have really started him the whole season last year, or would it have been more like a Bryce Young thing where they bench him, or maybe just have a kind of a Sam Darnold situation where it's a bridge quarterback until he's ready, or a Drake May? I mean, heck, the Patriots you would think would have a lot of pressure, but they still – put in a bridge quarterback and didn't play Drake May right away. And then we saw immediately that Caleb Williams, who was one of the younger players in the entire draft, was not ready to play. And I think that set him back. But Matt Eberflus had to play him. He had no other choice because of the amount of pressure that was on after they drafted him. So you know, Ben Johnson's got a lot of work to do there. And I'm also just not convinced that, you know, it's the greatest situation with a GM who's already under pressure. I mean, when you're Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell and you're on the same timelines here, I think that's really helpful. So everyone's under pressure when that comes, or everyone gets celebrated when they win. But, you know, now Ryan Poles is on the hot seat, but he just hired a new head coach. So is he going to be adopting a new GM if they don't make the playoffs next year? Like, there's just a lot of questions there still, I think.
Yeah. The other coordinator, defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, he gets the job in New York. That makes some sense because of just his, you know, coming out of the Jets organization. Just your thoughts on him taking that specific job.
Yeah, it's funny about Aaron Glenn because I've never really thought that he was one of the better schematic defensive coordinators in the league, which is funny because, you know, I said that on your show before the Vikings game, and then they came out and played great against the Vikings. And then it all came to fruition against Washington, where they got out-schemed by them and outplayed by Washington. But, you know, I actually think that Aaron Glenn might make a better head coach even than he did a coordinator, because you can really see in the way that his players play for him, talk about him, that he's got a lot of those leadership qualities that I think we see in someone like Kevin O'Connell or someone like Dan Campbell. He might be more understated than, you know, those guys who are very, you know, outwardly enthusiastic, but he, even when he was a player, I remember he had a very distinct air of leadership to him. And I always think of that for head coaches is what a lot of them don't understand is, well, okay, the guy had a top 10 unit, so he gets hired, but the job is not the same. It's so much different. You are in charge of so many different facets of an organization. And Kevin O'Connell has talked about finding that out when he got there. I remember that he had to be told that he had to introduce free agents at press conferences. Like, he just didn't realize that that was now his job. And I mean, think of all the media and everything else that you got to answer for, and all the people that you have to organize. And you have to know that you got to trust your coordinators and trust the people that work for you to put together the scheme, because you can't just do it all yourself like you did when you were a coordinator. And I think Aaron Glenn understands all of that to a T. So I think he's got a really good chance there. My question, of course, is what they're going to do at quarterback with the Jets. Is it going to be Rodgers again?
Because I think it is.
I think it is.
I get the feeling, and I saw a couple takes from a few people nationally, and I'm starting to lean into, I think Rodgers is probably going to be back there. It just feels like it.
Yeah, that feels to me like 5 or 6 wins. I mean, he just he's just done. It's the same thing with Russell Wilson, where it's like, I get it, Russ, you want to keep playing, but this is just bad, dude. Like, it's just not, it's never coming back. And it's never coming back for Rodgers either. And I just think if you're inheriting him, then you don't get to run your organization the way you want to run it as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, because that means he runs it. And it was fine in Green Bay when he was the best player in the world, but he ain't the best player in the world anymore, not even close, as was shown for this year. So that could be very tricky for Aaron Glenn.
Oh, no, he should not roll with him. It just feels like that's going to be where Aaron Rodgers remains. We're talking to Matthew Kyler, Purple Insider, here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's get to the games before we let you go. Let's start with the NFC matchup, NFC Championship. Washington going into Philadelphia, who do you like and why?
I think that when it comes down to games like this, the better rosters usually win, and I think Philadelphia has the better top-to-bottom roster. But, man, Jaden Daniels is the great equalizer, because no matter what Detroit tried to do against him or Tampa Bay tried to do against him, he was inevitable. I mean, he just could not be stopped. I have the image in my head of, you know, him scrambling against Tampa Bay and the guy grabbing, only being able to grab his towel and not being able to actually get a hand on him, or the Lions sending a corner blitz and Daniels just being like, oh, you're sending a corner blitz? That's fine. I'll just run for a first down. I mean, he has all those Josh Allen traits, those Lamar Jackson traits, and yet there's something that's even on top of that. There's a calmness and a coolness to him that, I don't know. I mean, that's like Joe Montana. There's not that many quarterbacks that have ever looked that calm out there playing football, and it's so impressive. So he's the equalizer, but you look at, you know, Philly's offensive line, their defensive line, their corners, they are a stacked roster. So I think Philadelphia has the edge there.
Yeah, I agree with you in your assessment of this. I'm actually going to pick Washington in the upset just because I'm concerned about the Jalen Hurts injury.
Yes.
And on top of the Jalen Hurts injury, Washington believes. Like, they believe, they're like, we got this guy. And this guy is Jaden Daniels, and he's a badass. So I'm going to roll with Washington in an upset.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how many books A.J. Brown can read on the sideline, but he's not getting the football. He's just not getting the football. I mean, and if you're not able to throw like that, then that's an equalizer there. But, you know, it kind of comes down to no one's going to stop Saquon Barkley, but can you prevent 70-yard touchdowns? Like, if they could do that, then they have a chance. Yeah, I mean, I think this one's fairly close. Just Philadelphia's a little bit more talented.
All right, let's go to Buffalo and the Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored in this one by 2 points. They do have the home field advantage. Look, I know you're sentimental, Buffalo and all that good stuff, but how do you see this shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about, like, Josh Allen and Mahomes, they're so close, right? And every one of these games has been a field goal goes wide right for the Bills, or it's the 13 seconds game where the Bills had it wrapped up, and then somehow Mahomes and Kelce find a way. All of these playoff games have been nail-biters, barn-burners, whatever you want to say. And I feel like it's going to be the same thing. It's probably the most easily predictable outcome of the week. But, you know, I think Buffalo's a little better right now. I mean, it's not that Kansas City is not great, and they're also well-rested. They didn't have that hard of a game against Houston, and before that I think they didn't play for like 24 days. So they're healthy, they're rested, they got the home field advantage, all these things even it out. But at some point, the all-time great quarterbacks always find a way to break through at some point, right? And I think that Josh Allen's going to do it eventually. Enough swings, enough bites at the apple that it's going to happen. So, I mean, I'm picking Buffalo here, but, I mean, who knows between these two?
Yeah, Kansas City wins this one. And it's only because both quarterbacks, I think, are going to play fine. It's just the home field advantage. That's the only thing I'm going with. I've said this the entire – since midseason, Josh Allen's the MVP. I know that at the very end of the year, everybody was screaming Lamar, 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 Lamar. I know Lamar surged at the end, but there was nothing that Josh Allen did for him to be like, well, okay, yeah, I've lost the award. If I had a vote, which I do not, I would vote Josh Allen for the MVP. It's something about going in an Arrowhead, man, and being able to walk away from the from an AFC championship and saying that you got it done. Now, it has happened before. Tom Brady, Joe Burrow did it, and Josh Allen, we know, is good enough to do it as well.
Yeah, I think so. And when it comes to that place, it's not like Josh hasn't been there before or played well. I mean, you look at his playoff record, it's just pristine. It's literally Mahomes has been one play better so many times. So, you know, I mean, who really knows that when it comes to this? I also think that there's a big factor of the Bills and their defense being banged up. And you saw once the Ravens settled down in that game, which, you know, Kansas City won't be panicking like the Ravens were at the start of the game. I mean, they were able to move the football every time they wanted to because that Bills defense has a lot of injuries. So that could end up being a huge factor here. And all of a sudden, last week, Travis Kelce decided he was going to start breaking tackles and ripping off 40-yard runs after looking very old in the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, I think this one's as even as it could possibly be.
Yeah. Hey, good stuff, Matthew. I always appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, take care. That's Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll get to Bite of the Night. That's next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
All right, the bite of the night this evening, it's revolving around Mark Andrews, okay, who's the tight end of the Baltimore Ravens. Outstanding player. We know he's been in the spotlight from last weekend where he had the fumble that Buffalo grabbed. And it was a great catch and run, but then the ball gets punched out. He turns the ball over. That stops a great drive for the Baltimore Ravens. Then they get down there. They score a touchdown with, what, less than 2 minutes remaining in the game to cut the deficit to two. They run a play for the two-point conversion, and Lamar Jackson throws it. Perfect pass to Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews drops it. It was a clear he was going to convert the two-point conversion. Game would have been tied up. You never know how things would have shook out, but it was awful for him.
Okay? Oh, shame!
Like it was just one of those things where, like, and I get it, man. Like, you feel miserable. You put your hard earned time and blood, sweat, and tears into playing a brutal game, and you feel like you let your team down. You feel like you let yourself down. You feel like you let the people in Baltimore down. Like, this is how some of these guys feel. And remember now, Mark Andrews last year got hurt, and he's the reason why they have that the hip drop penalty now, because he had that brutal injury that had him out for the majority of last season. So Andrews doesn't face the media. He does not make himself available for the postgame presser. We know the rule. What, 15, 20 minutes cool-off period? Then after that, reporters come in, ask what. He did not make himself available to the media. He's wrong for that. Okay, let me just state that for the record. Like, we can make the argument about different places of work and what the rules should be in terms of access and not having access. Part of professional sports is access to the media. That's whether you like it or not, that's just how it is. He did not make himself available. It is part of the collective bargaining agreement. It is part of their contracts. He didn't adhere to it. Now, I'm not in a rage over it. It happened. You find him, you move on with the rest of your life. I didn't get upset about it. Okay? Everybody else did get upset about it. Everybody had an opinion about it. And people called him out on it, which is fine. Well, Cam Newton, he had a response to it earlier today. And in a way, he took a shot at, because I saw the comments from Emmanuel Acho from Fox Sports, FS1. And when he brings up Fox in this commentary, Cam Newton, that's exactly who he's talking about. But this is Cam Newton on First Take earlier today, Stephen A and those guys, whatever. And he is specifically addressing the Mark Andrews not talking to the media.
I'm going to go with the unpopular pick, but I want everybody to keep this same energy in other commodities, in politics, in entertainment, in sports, no matter what it is. And we haven't been holding people to the same fire. So, Mark Andrews, it's okay, bro. You ain't got to talk to nobody. Because in other networks, there's lawsuits that's been out. We ain't heard nobody say nothing about that. Now, we got other things that's coming. When there's a Fox report that comes out and we haven't heard anybody speak about anything or make any type of public announcement, nobody has held Fox to that same thing. So why are we talking about making a big fuss about Mark Andrews if you're not going to keep that same energy across the board? That's what I'm saying.
But he's saying,
he's saying in all different industries, people don't have
thoughts.
To.
I just didn't understand what he was saying. That's all I didn't know.
He's just saying in all different industries, people don't have held accountable and go in front of a mic right away. So
I fully. Correct. Mark's going to talk at some point.
All right, so I don't have an issue with Cam Newton. Cam Newton says some wild stuff at times. He's actually said some things where I'm like, okay, I see your point there. I'm not feeling him here. And the reason why I'm not feeling him here is he knows damn well why Fox, Emmanuel Acho, Joy Taylor, who used to be on there, Skip Bayless. The reason why none of these people are talking about this, there's a lawsuit taking place. Where is a lawsuit at Fox in the same vein as Mark Andrews not talking after a game? It's not the same.
This is what happens when you start saying corporations are the same as people. They get interchangeable. We hold them to the same standards, right? We want
ridiculous.
Answers. We don't get answers from anybody. So in a way, we kind of look to get answers from sports people because they're more accessible.
They and it's in their contract.
They owe us something, right? Weirdly.
Well, it is in the contract that they're supposed to speak after games.
I get that for Mark, though. I wouldn't want to speak to the
media. No, I get it, too. I totally get it, too.
And I would take the fine right on the chin because I can't imagine. I mean, I've been in the shame spiral. I was a goalie, people. I know what it feels like for the team to lose because of your ineptitude. And it's the worst feeling of all time. And I can't imagine, Stewart from Channel 4 News walks up. So what were you thinking when you dropped the ball in the two-point convert? I would want to just run through a wall like the Kool-Aid man. So I get that. And I get that that's probably not a popular opinion, especially given my line of work or previous line of work. But it's just these you just drop a ball like that. And how many thousands of times has he made that in practice, in his backyard, in all of this? And in this 1 second,
he
just
need
to do it. And he didn't make the
that's
so
fine.
Infuriating
it
to
happens.
Me.
It happens.
That he'll live with that for the rest of his life because I live with my ineptitude. And that was much lower stakes.
Mark Andrews put out after, because that happened on Sunday.
Yeah, he put out a statement.
He put out an Instagram post today. And it says, it's impossible to be adequately express how I feel. I'm absolutely gutted by what happened on Sunday. I'm devastated for my teammates, my coaches, and Ravens fans. I pour every ounce of my being into playing at the highest level possible because I love my team and the game of football like nothing else. That is why it's taken me until now to collect my thoughts and address this publicly. Even though the shock and disappointment are unlike anything I've felt before, I refuse to let the situation define me. I promise that this adversity will only make me stronger and fuel us as we move forward. I thank everyone who has shown me and our team genuine support these past several days. Despite the negativity, I've seen heartfelt love and encouragement, including from those who have generously donated to the Breakthrough T1D organization.
Bill's Mafia.
Even when the moment seems darkest, perspective can reveal that there's still a lot of light in this world. I'm now going to do my part to bounce back and contribute to it, hashtag God bless. And then the reason why I end up seeing that was because JT the Brick,
I'm familiar.
Yeah, JT the Brick.
My guy.
I used to have him on when I was in Kansas City. He retweeted it and said, great player, bad look. You have to meet with the media immediately following a game like that or the next day at the latest.
Hmm.
And I don't agree with everything that JT says a lot of times. I do agree with him here. I think Mark Andrews should make himself available. Even if he doesn't have much to say, I mean, he could have sat in front of his locker and been emotional or just said, I let my team down. He could have just said, say it 20 times, I let my team down. Lamar threw a perfect pass. I didn't make the play. I'm sorry, Baltimore.
I fought for yardage that I shouldn't have.
Say that, and then if the silence is silent for a minute, everybody will get it, and they will walk away from you. Even if a couple other reporters want to ask questions, you just I don't have anything else to say to you today. I just don't, man. I'm sorry. I don't even want to be here right now. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, and then they would have left him alone. So I do agree with JT from that perspective. And look, we can sit here and we can say what we want. And look, I don't have an issue with them finding him and him just taking on the chin. It is in the CBA. It's part of the job. He's not the there's going to be an NBA player that's going to miss free throws or whatever, and it's going to suck, and they'll have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just life. That's just life. So, but Cam Newton, I'm not going there, bro. I'm sorry. We ain't doing
it. He's not the guy I usually follow for accountability advice.
All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather and an interesting finding with regards to us caring about being on time for work. And it sounds like a lot of us don't find that interesting. We get to that next on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
I like to cuddle. What are you talking about?
Big spoon or little spoon?
I'm a cuddler.
But what is your preferred position? Do you like being the big spoon or do you like being the little spoon? It's very simple.
Who's going to be the little spoon?
Little spoon not me. Kicks ass, man.
That's Lindsey Brown. She's asking ridiculous questions here on The Lake Show.
Just trying to get to know you, friend.
I think that this is ridiculous right here. That all of a sudden, and I know that times change, but how in the heck is there an article and there is research that states that in surveys where people are saying that being on time, your coworkers don't really care about that anymore. Like, every coworker in every industry should be concerned about their coworkers being on time. Now, this is according to a monster survey of more than 1,000 workers last summer that getting in late is not necessarily that big of a deal anymore, according to this report. Only 14% of employees cite punctuality as the most important workplace manner. And I'm not saying it's the most important, but it should rank high up on the list. Vicky Salimi, career expert for job recruitment company Monster, told Fortune magazine, quote, "I was surprised that number was so low," pointing to a whopping 76 of respondents saying that being consistently late to meetings was one of the top five rude behaviors. She notes that 14% figure seems especially low since it falls under the umbrella of punctuality. There shouldn't be anybody that, and I'm not sitting here saying that a person is never going to be late or that a person should be fired just for being late a time or two. But consistently being late for stuff, that is a deal breaker, right?
Especially if I'm showing up on time. And what if my work depends on your work getting done?
Now, our work is a little bit
different. We have to be on time.
Well, we have to be on time.
We have to
do a show.
Yep.
But even like
legal ID.
But even like the getting in and out, like there's a difference between doing the show and other time with the show. So like for instance, it's not like we're on the airways and we're here at we roll in at 5:55 and you hop on the air at 6 and then at 9 o'clock when the show's over, you just hop out in 10 minutes. That's not how it works because there's other elements to doing stuff, like, you know, whether you're podcasting or whatever, or like for me, I'm doing stuff all throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Like in my show prep for tomorrow actually, you know, starts like a couple days ago or tonight. I'm like trying
to team on the game tape a few days early.
Yeah. That's just, mm-hmm. So if somebody is like, well, hold Henry, you're not at work by 4? Well, no, I really don't need to be at work every day by 4 because I've already done things and put things in motion. There's days where you come in and you tape an interview with somebody because the window of taping with them, whether they're on the East Coast or West Coast or whatever, and you get stuff out of the way. My whole point is that not being on time, that's interesting, and it's different for us. Now it says, what are the most annoying workplace behaviors? Okay, these are the top 5 irritating behaviors, and the share of workers who found them the most annoying are as follows. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number 5, consistently being late to meetings. Number 4, being unresponsive to messages.
Ooh, that's me.
Number 3, this one I'm a little bit surprised is at 3, using inappropriate language.
That's a foreign concept to our industry as well.
Well, it's also like, what's the definition of inappropriate language?
Swear words. Some people are very uncomfortable, Henry.
Yeah, but what's the industry? So like, there's things that I can say that me and you can say right now at this particular hour, mm-hmm. that Vanita Sakkar can't say.
Sure.
There are things that back when I was doing 9 until 1. And the harbor hours were later that I could say then that I can't say now, mm-hmm. or that Chad Hartman can't say. So the day parts, and it's all because of the, you know, FCC, all the different rules and stuff like that. So
for now,
it depends on the industry, but I'm a little bit surprised at the using inappropriate language part, because mm-hmm. you do, and maybe that's some of that is due to in corporate settings, we do have managers and people that are aggressive and they are power hungry and they take it out on people, and that's not okay. Number 2, most annoying workplace behaviors, gossiping. I can see that being pretty high on the list. Cause if something's going on in the office down the hall that has nothing to do with me, then you
don't want to hear about it.
I'm not trying to be messy. I'm dead serious. I'm not trying to be messy. Because then when there's some sort of scandal or something going on at work, I don't want to be involved in none of that.
Well, if your bestie got dumped, they need your support, would you be there for then?
I mean, yeah, but we could talk about that off the...
You just don't want to do it on the clock. Okay.
It could be messy. And the number 1 most annoying workplace behavior, not cleaning up after oneself.
Seems universal there, right? That's the worst.
Yeah, but I can't believe that's worse than consistently being late to meetings.
I think we all have gotten into the mindset of, like, get your work done in your own time. As long as it's done.
Man, I'm surprised.
It's hard for me to take a lot of work things really seriously right now. Isn't it for you?
No, I'm taking everything serious.
I know, Henry. We are hard in the paint journalists here and everything else. But don't you find it a little bit hard? Like, if I were working a normal corporate job and we were talking about boosting profits or we were talking about this certain marketing thing, I'm like, do you know what's going on?
Yeah.
You know,
but those people exist.
It doesn't matter.
They're still working though.
I know, and it's still your livelihood too. Yeah. And so it's a weird place to be.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, we have headlines. That's next year on The Lake Show. All right, let's dive right into headlines. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got Steve Silton in studio. We have a few things that we want to chat with him about tonight. But right now, we got Lindsey Brown. She's got headlines. What you got, Lindsey?
We have an assortment of topics here, Henry. First and foremost, Let's just say everybody has a little bit of an obsession with their cars looking clean. There is a leading story in the Star Tribune today by Jim Buchta. I don't know if that's how you say your last name, Jim, but it is an attempt that has been made and a look at a car wash on every corner, how subscriptions are driving the boom in the Twin Cities. I don't know if anybody else has noticed the amount of car washes that are not just here, but almost everywhere. Jim goes on to say that 60,000 car washes nationwide, twice the number of Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, and McDonald's locations combined, according to the Matthews Real Estate Investment Services, which is a national brokerage that tracks the industry. Has to do a lot with the subscription model, Jim found, popular for everything from Netflix to meal services that offers convenience through continuous and unlimited access. So if I'm going to pay $15 a week, Henry, or a month, I'm going to go through two or three times. I'm going to take full advantage of all of those vacuum cleaners. And even some places around here are trying to find ways to separate themselves from the competition, offering dog wash areas as well.
I think that, so let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done the subscription thing for car washes?
No.
I would never do it. And the reason why I would never do it is because I would never be a candidate to really get good use out of it. I don't get my car washed enough to do it. So, like, for instance, I have a cousin that has done it before, right? And,
yeah.
And it was like the subscription was like, I don't know, $28 a month or $30. Let's round up $30 a month,
sure.
Roughly. To go how many times? Like, if you went weekly, but how many people go get their car washed weekly? More people than I guess I would typically think about.
Right.
To be honest with you.
And that's kind of the psychology behind it. If you're going to be spending a lot of money on your car, you would probably be inclined to spend a little bit more to keep it nice. And this has been a growth that's been observed, especially past the pandemic. And they even consider the Twin Cities an underserved market, even though there's places like in Eden Prairie where there's two Mr. Car Washes 100 yards away from each other, and then they just fight to the death.
So when you go get a car wash, or do you wash it yourself? Do you take it to a, I don't wash it myself. I take it to a car wash.
I mean, I have
washed it myself, but
I had a full can of Diet Coke explode in my car 2 weeks ago, and
that's
I haven't done a damn thing about it. Yep.
Wait, you what?
Nothing. There's no sugar, so there's nothing sticky in there. So there's just a few droplets on a few of my windows, but other than that, you don't really notice that it happened. So it didn't happen.
Oh, in the inside?
Yeah, on the inside.
Oh, you're talking about detailing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a whole other thing. I'm sure
I've never had my current vehicle detailed.
It's one of my life goals. I would just want somebody to go with a paintbrush and just be like in each and every crevice.
Yeah, I will put it like this. I buy them in bundles now. I found a really good car wash in Chanhassen.
Great spot.
And
huge fan of their Culver's.
$25.
For one?
No, I bought like five.
So you didn't buy a subscription, you bought a pack.
No, a pack, like a five pack, yeah.
Sure.
And
so there's a stop.
You know how much money I save? Because each one of the specific, like one of their better washes is like $15 each time or $16. So I just save myself. I mean, it's basically after two washes, I've already maxed out.
They give you the super, super clean rag to wipe down the inside of your car with.
No, they don't give me a rag.
Well, I don't know if you're getting your full money's worth then, Henry. I don't know if they're doing the same thing they do at the car washes at Holiday or what used to be known as Holiday. Are Holiday's still a thing? Are they taken over by Speedway?
Holiday's took over Speedway.
They're all the same thing. I'm sure.
I think they took over Speedway.
The Russians, the Swedes are all the same thing. You might get a few looks at Christmas, but that's all right. All right, moving on with more headlines. I picked out a few of them. That seems like a little bit of a Debbie Downer. But this one is funny. Mississippi state lawmaker introduces a contraception begins at erection act with fines for masturbation. I mean, we're going to regulate bodies. We might as well make sure that everybody's included, right? We want to make sure that everybody's taking steps to be safe. Democratic Mississippi State Senator introduced legislation this week that would make it unlawful for men to masturbate without the intent to fertilize an embryo because lawmakers saying, and his last name is Senator Bradford Blackman. It's a great alliterative name. We love that. He said most abortion memories only focus on the women's role and that there would be escalating penalties. The first one would be $1,000, the second one would be $5,000, and a fine of $10,000.
How about the men?
How about them men? Not all men.
Get on them.
No, just exercise some self-control. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yep.
But as Senator Blackman said, this bill highlights the fact that and brings the men's role into the conversation. He added people can get up in arms about it and call it absurd. absurd, but I can't say that it bothers me.
I hear you.
This is the energy I would like to
There
bring.
Has to be more accountability for us as men, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We always want to control people's bodies, but we don't want nobody controlling our body.
Correct. 100% of pregnancies are caused by sperm. So control yourselves, for God's sake.
Hey, real quick. Jan from Greenwood, she says, hello. Our neighbor gets his truck washed every day. What? It's a waste of money.
That's a lot of effort. Do you think that they approach their any other aspect of their life with that amount of effort?
That person's, they're not good for the environment.
There actually is some environmental study thing in here. Like the psychology behind it, they say, is that you won't get as many chemicals as you would when people are doing it just at home, ordering from this place. But like, we have a nice water filtration system here. We'll keep the suds to ourselves.
Jan, he's wasting water. The people in California need water.
How else are we going to power ChatGPT?
Jan, talk some sense into him, please.
What does it say if you're obsessed with your car, not just your car, but a washed car? Right?
I don't know. I'm
something to feels dirty or clean. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to figure out what this last one from the 763 Big Ten Spring Lake Park. Are you trying to
Big Ten SLP. Let's go.
Are they trying to tell me where to go to get a car washed?
Maybe.
I mean, they're just putting it on there. I'm like, well, what are you really trying to say?
That's for my neck.
Is that a recommendation?
They have, you can tell if they're open or closed by their blinds. Like, they'll just do their blinds up. It'll say open, and they do their blinds
Big
down.
Big Ten is
closed.
A chain of a gas station?
I think it's independently owned. And so I support local businesses.
A gas station or a car wash?
Car wash. Hmm. It used to be across the street from the old mini golf place that had a dinosaur, but I think that has since been ripped down. Big mini golf. Again, taking the things we love. Can't stand for it
I can't
anymore.
Tell you the last time I've been out to Spring Lake Park.
Oh, you're missing out some of the best parts of the metro over there. They got a quick trip over there.
How do you feel like I'm missing out on what's going on at Spring Lake
the
Park?
The North Mizzy? Come on. You know how many good
I'm
Culvers
not hating,
you got
I'm
up
just
there?
Saying.
You just haven't,
how
you
many
haven't
what?
Gone.
How many what?
Culvers.
Culvers?
Culvers. Huge fan. Stop it. Oh, my God. Our friendship's
thumbs
on the line.
Thumbs down.
Oh, my God.
Thumbs
I
down.
I don't know if I can do this last hour.
I've talked about this on the show before. Stephen Silton, he joins us in studio. Next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.